This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
How are we feeling on a Thursday? LeVar's grinding, by the way.
I'm grinding.
He's twerking.
Well, I'm always grinding.
Oh, okay.
It certainly was not twerking.
That
no.
Like twerking.
I was going to say.
Hey, bro. Don't get kicked off the air, man. you know, twerking is not, it's a no-fly zone.
Sorry
bro.
About
like,
that.
Like,
that
be careful.
Do people even
that.
Do that anymore?
Got away from me a little bit.
You know, I became a little bit.
Do that anymore.
I became a little bit desensitized to paying attention to the twerk. When I started seeing dudes do it in the locker rooms, man.
Wait, like, what?
I lost connection with. Like, at one point, twerking was kind of ill. At one point, it was okay. And then I saw a dude twerk into a split.
Oh, no.
Into a full split.
In fact, you know what?
Didn't we see that happen in the national championship?
Well,
one of the dudes do the twerk.
I don't know that he was twerking.
Antonio Brown did it. Antonio Brown did it after a touchdown celebration. He did it.
I'm just saying, I never felt comfortable with dudes twerking. I know it became like a thing. And I don't know how that makes me look as a person. Because everything is, I just don't know what's right from wrong anymore.
Right.
So am I judgy?
I'll put it this way.
Am I judgy for not being comfortable with a dude twerking?
No, I'm against twerking in all forms. I don't care male, female, yeah. Everyone identify. I'm just against twerking. Yeah. I'm not a fan of twerking.
Yeah. Mm. You know,
I will say, depends
on the artist. We'll put it that way.
I will say, if I'm being totally honest, some people can get away with the twerk with me.
I mean, just being honest.
That's
a good point,
you know?
Yeah.
But I just can't do the dude thing. I don't know, man. I just don't. A dude twerking and leading into a full split, like throw the leg, split, hit the ground. I just don't know about that.
Throw the leg.
Yeah. Throw the leg.
Yeah.
I ain't with it, Brady.
I don't even know what any of that means.
And you know what? You don't need to.
Yeah.
I don't even want you to get the mental visual of this.
Yeah,
it's not good.
It's a different thing altogether. Can we now, speaking of, there's no easy way to transition.
No, speaking of the
there
sports.
Is no easy way out.
Yeah, speaking of.
There's no shortcut home.
Uncomfortable situations in the NFL. The layers upon layers that we were talking about yesterday to this John Gruden email fiasco and all that's added to it and stuff that's been mixed in, it continues to just pile on one right after the other. And the more you pull back, the more you realize, oh, there's more there. It's like a box of Kleenex. It just seems like it's never ending. You pull one out, there's another one right behind it. The other latest on that is that Mark Davis is all of a sudden under attack. Brady Quinn, Mark Davis, LeVar, Mark Davis, the guy who you call Bucky Larson, is under attack.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm just saying, like, that is...
it's coming at them from all angles is what you're saying.
Now,
here's the... There's a money quote.
You're funny as hell.
They ask...
Brady Quinn is... Wait, hold on. Okay, keep going. All right. I had to have one moment to laugh, because Brady be sneaking in some quick zingers. They'd be real quick.
They asked Mark Davis yesterday about the situation, and his quote was, "I have no comment. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers." That seems like somebody who's got a little bit of a red ass about the situation and the handling of the situation. There was also something out there that he feels like they're trying to take the team from him. Is that just a rumor? Is that somebody trying to spark a rumor or a report? But there was that was floated out there. So how the hell does that all of a sudden change things? Because my initial reaction was the fact that you're firing your head coach, maybe Mark Davis is looking for a reason to get rid of John Gruden. And unless he's a really good actor, he's not happy about any of this stuff.
He resigned.
Yeah.
He didn't fire him.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like John Gruden was collateral damage in this whole thing.
Oh, for certain.
If the source of some of the emails or what led to them digging into more of the emails with the investigation with the Washington football team, if the source was a lawsuit between Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen and this company that apparently made all these claims, against Bruce Allen. I mean, there's with Bruce Allen, I guess. There's all sorts of different things going on. And everything was pointed directly at Dan Snyder until he pulled out some sort of shield and just redirected everything to hit John Gruden. I mean, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the more details that come about, if I was Mark Davis, I mean, in one way, you should be frustrated. However, again, it doesn't make anything that John Gruden has said or done right, but that was before you hired him. Mm-hmm. I mean, these emails were coming when he was an employee of ESPN. Now, to think that he changed his ways and wasn't communicating like that since he's been the head coach of the Raiders, it's kind of hard to believe. But, you know, maybe he feels like, look, if you're going to fire my coach, do an investigation in our organization instead of painting this bad picture of light over our head coach when he wasn't even our head coach. He wasn't even a part of our organization then. So, you know, I could see where he might be a little bit frustrated with how this all went down. The reality is, you know, I'm not sure how they would possibly take his team from him, considering everything seems to be about what's happened with the Washington football team and Dan Snyder. And they didn't take the football team from him. They just made him step down or step away from it.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, I was going to say it was Jason Cole who reported that, longtime NFL reporter, who said that people around Raiders owner Mark Davis believe that the NFL is trying to find a way to get rid of him, and they have told Davis that. So I don't know. It could just be paranoia. It could be.
I mean, again, I'm not sure how you force that. I'll put it this way. If it forced him to get rid of it, okay, good time to sell. I mean, he just moved to Las Vegas. He's going to make, a billion or so from all of that. It's like, I guess that's a terrible problem to have, but I understand it's his legacy. The team was passed down to him from his father. So there's a lot that goes into it, but it's like, boy, I wish I found myself into a tough fire sale for a $1 billion franchise.
Imagine the rager we throw after that. We own the Raiders and sold them right now.
Yeah, can I make it through that?
Please do.
But don't we want to ask the question, why paranoia? You know? Like, if you really think about it, there has to be something there for there to be paranoia. There can't be anything it can't be a clear, clean conscience. And everything is on the up and up, and you be paranoid about what they're trying to do to you. If you're good, you're good. If everything cashes out, it cashes out. Like, if it adds up, it adds up. What are you paranoid about? That would be my first thought on this.
The easy answer would be, and this is the least entertaining one, is that the NFL's always had it out against Al Davis, his father, because they were butting heads for years and years.
Who would have done more unscrupulous things to get things done than the type of guys back in the days?
I agree. But,
all right, so Bucky Larson is probably nowhere near the type of dude that his dad is in terms of doing what it is that he's doing. So what is Mark Davis paranoid about? You got to believe you know. Go ahead, Brady. Go ahead.
No, I don't really know what he's paranoid about. I think the unfortunate thing would be if this was the case. I mean, the NFL essentially used Mark Davis – and John Gruden to move that team to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So they could open up a new revenue stream and begin that discussion of gambling and sports being okay. Like, that was really one of the first steps. So, I mean, obviously when the NHL had a hockey team there, you kind of knew that would help pave the way for other sports leagues and to open up this new revenue stream. But if that was how the NFL was going to do Mark Davis – it's kind of doing him dirty because he's the one who went through a lot of flack to get out of Oakland to Las Vegas. There was a lot of controversy that was, you know, came along with that. And I don't, you know, whichever side of the fence you're on in that, whether, you know, the city of Oakland made a strong enough claim or the county there, et cetera. Like, I'm not here to debate that. I'm just saying at the end of the day, the NFL wanted a team in Vegas. They got it. And now because of this, they're going to move on from the owner? Like, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to that. I do think he would be upset if he had to sell this team. Not because of, you know, the fact that it was in his family and everything else. It's the fact that he's building a house that is a direct replica of Allegiant Stadium.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, you'd think that you literally every day living in a house that is a replica of Allegiant Stadium would be depressing. Like, it would be a reminder you'd have to sell that house as well.
Yeah, you'd have to sell the house as well.
Not just the team, you'd have to sell the house as well.
All right, now here's the second part of this. If Mark Davis is paranoid that they're trying to take his team away from him, what the hell is Dan Snyder sitting around
exactly.
thinking about right now?
Exactly.
And keep this in mind. There was his partners, his minority partners that he ended up successfully removing. I think one is like the owner of FedEx, and that's why the field is FedEx Field. I'm not sure who the other one was, but I'm pretty certain that there were two main ones in particular, and they were removed, but they were all attempting to remove Dan Snyder as owner of the team. And that had became a very, very intense propaganda deal that was taking place in terms of things that was being put out there about Dan Snyder. So now the question has to be, the real question has to be, like, Mark Davis is a side piece deal to this matinee. The real focus of this story and this movie is what will come of Dan Snyder and the Washington football team. Because this is a mess, and it's a mess that continues on, and now it is full throttle mess when you have people losing their jobs, reputations, and careers, and it had nothing to do with the organization that person is working for. Like, this is a mess. So I think the bigger question has to be Dan Snyder.
Do you guys believe that, like there should be open access to the 650,000 emails?
Yeah. And I believe that it's not going to happen.
And then what happens after you get the open access and all the people that will be incriminated, what has to happen next? Because you know there's a what. In fact, I'm wondering why there isn't criminal situations that, like, we're looking at Deshaun Watson, like, and what he's going through. We'll look at other people and what they get themselves into, and why wouldn't some of these emails, if what we're seeing and hearing about some of these pictures that have been released and different things like that, why does this not turn into criminal legal situations? And that's another thing that you got to take a look at.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be a legal activity, whatever that may be. And then, you know, criminal and civil are obviously
two different deals, right?
There's two different burdens of proof and how you go about, you know, doing that. I think that's the tough part. I do wonder, though, with the steps Dan Snyder's already taken, kind of removing himself from it, his wife now taking over, a lot of the things they've done organizationally to try to clean it up. I do think it's interesting, as this is all brought to light, that, I mean, the way Jerry Richardson was brought down in Carolina, I mean, you'd think that
it's along the same lines.
I was going to say equal to, if not worse.
I totally agree. So how is he Teflon? That's the question you
got
to ask here.
He's
we're
got
talking
some
about
dirt, man.
Exactly.
Hey, bro, we're talking about Mark Davis. Mark Davis isn't even connected to the Washington team, but we're not talking about what should be happening to Dan Snyder. Like, that's fine. You let your wife take – it's the same family.
Dan Snyder –
it's the same situation.
Dan Snyder knows where the bodies are buried, and it's exactly why he's basically gotten off with a slap on the wrist, and you've got another guy who's not even involved in this thinking they're going to take away his team after they just built a new stadium for him in Las Vegas. Dan Snyder knows something, and he's got something on somebody, which is why he's been just cruising this entire time.
But this is still Game of Thrones, man.
Honestly, you know what's next.
What?
You know what's next. They're gonna build a new stadium.
Well, that's what he's been trying to do since forever.
But I'm saying it's going to happen here in the next year. I bet they're going to announce it because it's going to distract from all of this.
Yeah.
I just think Dan Snyder's wife running the team is no different than Dan Snyder running the team.
Yeah.
He's not removed from running the team if his spouse is running the team.
Now, you mentioned Mark Davis earlier. LeVar, if you had to do an impression of Mark Davis's reaction to all this, what would it be? Like, if you had to do it?
They're trying to take my team. They're trying to take my team.
Very good.
Why would they try to take my team from me?
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Now, there is a significant matchup later on tonight, not even just the Bucks and the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday Night Football, kicking off Week 6 on Fox at 8:20 Eastern Time. But we have also got an elimination situation between the San Francisco Giants hosting the L.A. Dodgers, Game 5 of their divisional series here. This is... listen, somebody's going to try and play it off like everything is cool, nothing to worry about, Dodgers are going to be fine. They can play that off all they want. Roberto Flores, who is our technical producer here, he is the biggest Dodgers fan on the face of the earth. And I'm telling you this right now, I got you for 10 beers tonight. Because of the nerves you're going to be dealing with going into this game. And I don't care that you're weathered and experienced with all this, Roberto. This is going to be a problem for you later on tonight.
I agree. I said, look, if the Dodgers win the wild card game and they go ahead and lose to the Giants in the NLDS, I'd rather them just have lost the wild card game, man.
Really?
Yes.
Now, let me ask
just
you
get
this.
It over with.
Yeah.
Do you have a T-ball game that would...
Yeah, it's a 5:30, man. Jeez.
Then you should have enough time. Then you should be fine, right?
Yeah. So I'll probably miss like two or three innings probably.
Okay.
Gotcha. Now, so that might impede upon that 10.
So I'm gonna catch up.
It's gonna throw off the balance though. You're supposed to be there from start to finish. The fact that you're gonna miss those innings is going to be the difference in this
game. Why are you doing that to him? That is so cruel.
Isn't that cruel?
Not wrong.
Wasn't that horrible?
It's so mean.
Isn't that horrible?
Man,
Hey, Brady, didn't Jonas just bring us out of the break talking about the largest, the biggest, the baddest L.A. Dodgers fan in the history of L.A. Dodgers? And he's, I'm going to miss a few innings.
You know who it sounded like.
I'm going to miss a few innings.
Hey, you know who that sounded like a little bit.
Like.
A little bit like Vince McMahon.
Oh. You're fine.
Yeah, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. Roberto Flores, if you're not there from start to finish, you're fine. Now, how long does the T-ball game go? Because this is your daughter's T-ball game, so how long does it go?
An hour and 15 minutes.
Is it timed, Jesus, or is it one of those deals where like everyone gets this hit once?
Hour 15?
Yeah. It's time.
I make no bones about if Penn State football is coming on. Like my kid used to have cheerleading and they had youth league football on Saturdays. There's a conflict, right? Now here's the thing: if their game put me in any position where my travel time was impeded to get there for the kickoff of the game, I'll make sure I get Man's attention out there on the field, giving the deuces. Make sure I look for my daughter over there cheering, give her the deuces.
That's amazing.
And I go to my car and I beat cheeks up out of there to make sure that I am in front of the TV for Penn State kicking off.
Oh, I told my daughter, you really want to go to your game? She's like, yeah. I was like, ugh.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't get the choice. The fact that you asked, you already were out.
You're trying to get your daughter to not go to a
T-ball
game.
Yeah,
I'm
like, you want to go to a game? She's like, yeah.
Hey, oh my God. I missed the start of my first ever organized basketball game because I was watching a Bears playoff game. That's a true story.
Drop your daughter off and roll.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, that does not make you a bad parent. I'm just telling
you. Makes you a bad fan if you stay.
She needs a ride home.
Yeah.
She's going to need a ride home there, LeVar.
Get her an Uber.
I don't listen.
It's a good idea.
There's a trunk. You can put the equipment in there. There are options here. When I showed up to my basketball game, we were already partway through the first quarter. And I walked in to the and got onto the court, and my coach is like, you need to decide what's more important, this team or the Bears. And I remember standing there going,
It's not even the Bears. This isn't even a hard question. You got to set me up with better questions.
I don't know what to tell you. Roberto, I mean, there's sacrifices here. I mean, you got to go.
Sorry, you
got
to sacrifice your kid, man.
You guys are awful.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You guys are awful.
Then I got to hear it the rest of the weekend. So
what?
Yeah.
If they win, nah. It's worth hearing the complaints. Dad, you're a horrible dad.
The problem is the game won't be over, though. So.
Yeah, right. But you can't miss innings.
I'll be watching it on my phone for sure.
Okay, so it starts at 6.
I guess that's right. Fair. That's
6:07
fair.
6:07 right. Local time, 9:07 Eastern, and the T-ball game starts at what, 5:20 you said?
5:30.
5:30. Okay, so you're going to be about a half. Listen, man, you put in a half hour.
Birdo is going to be at the game like, hurry up, put the ball on the tee.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely.
Come on, get the ball on the tee. I mean, get the darn ball on the tee.
Birdo, have her fake an injury.
Why?
Seriously, come on, talk to LeVar. Penn State does it. I mean, have her make it in.
That zinger came out of left field. Damn. Like this right hand is going to rain down on your head.
We already put that to bed,
jeez,
by the way.
You're out of control.
I'm kidding. But seriously, have her fake an injury, Roberto. I mean, come on. Wait, you got to go. This is game five.
These gosh darn kids keep hitting they're hitting the tee. The ball is on the tee. It's the easiest thing to do. Just hit the ball!
All right, now here's
get through the innings!
Hey, are you driving her there? Or is your wife driving her there?
You're going to be heckling those
driving,
kids.
I'm driving.
Oh, okay, so you can't even drink
before. Berto is going to be heckling the hitters.
This is awful.
They're really strict about drinking there, so.
It's a T-ball.
Well, yeah.
And how does that work?
It's a T-ball.
Do they monitor the parking lot? How does that work?
They do, yeah, so.
Do they really?
They've got a designated adult beverage watcher.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You got to make a road soda, bro.
Yeah.
No one can ever dictate to you a road soda. It's like, what's in the hydro flask? Water. What do you think? Gatorade.
It's like, yeah, why does he have a lime on the side of it?
Oh, it's limeade. Hello?
It's Coke with lime.
Put the lime in your Coke, your nuts. You know, I mean, come on, man.
Look, I can tell you this. I told Roberto this story. There's a problem. When you are really nervous watching a game, you don't realize how much you drink. The last game I actually cared about from a fan standpoint was Game 7 of the World Series in 2016 when the Cubs won. So I grew up diehard Cub fan.
Yeah. Oh, that game was torture for me watching it.
Let me tell you something.
For Cubs fans.
I was, by the time the game was over, because you don't realize, you're drinking because of nerves. By the time the game was over, I was absolutely assassinated drunk. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't. I didn't know what the hell was happening. I was so bummed because you don't realize because it's just a nervous habit. You just it's like eating popcorn in the theater. You don't realize you've blown through a whole bucket until you reach in and it's gone.
I felt pretty good Friday.
I've been around LeVar, kind of banged up, and I've been around Jonas now. LeVar is a much better at handling his alcohol.
You would never know.
Than Jonas.
You just would never know. And let me tell you something.
I'm just saying right now, all right? I said it before. I'll say it again. Jonas starts losing his senses.
Okay. Mm. Yeah,
he starts losing basic necessities.
See, we get more
of
senses.
Human being.
Let me tell you something. Me and Brady are a problem. The O brothers were up at that bar.
The O brothers.
And let me tell you something. We had that bad boy going.
We did, man. It got rowdy.
We had it going. It was people didn't want to talk. When I first walked in there, everybody was face forward. Nobody was talking. Nobody was doing anything. Then I got them a little warmed up. And then Brady came in. OQ came up in that bad boy. And let me tell you something. It went live. It went all the way up.
We stirred it up, didn't we?
We went up.
We stirred that place up.
I mean, and it was so fun.
It was a reasonable time, right? What time was it during the day?
It set the tone, like 11.
It was happy hour.
It was like 11.
Hey, it was happy hour.
Yeah.
We went from 11. I think we left out of there at like 1.
Yeah, it was happy hour in Japan.
Yes, it was Jonas's happy hour. Yeah. 11 to 7 window he talks about.
They had to go to a production meet, and I was going to the next spot.
I saw Jim Irsay at one point.
Man, I went from mason jars to fish bowls. They were giving me.
Oh no! You were doing fish bowls,
bruh.
Well, those are 25 ounces, right? 25 or 32,
bruh,
I forget.
I was ripped.
God,
people were like, Jesus. They were like, "Are you hungry, LeVar?" I was like, "Hell yeah!" Like, let's go here. I was like, I never heard of it. Like, you're not going to know of any place here. I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. Let's go.
Fish bowls are dangerous, man.
I walked into a 4-star restaurant with sports shorts and spandex on. It's kind of, you know, I don't know. But I was there.
Hey,
and he was repping Penn State. I was too. He wasn't scared to rep Penn State there. And I was
not
sitting.
At all. I rep to rep my set. I'm loyal to the soil, baby.
All right, so moral of the story is Roberto needs to be loyal to the soil.
Yes.
And he needs to ditch that
man,
T-ball
ditch your
game.
Kid.
You guys are awful.
Ditch your kid.
Ditch your kid,
come on,
bro.
Roberto. Listen,
you guys are awful.
Your responsibility is to drop that kid off and pick them up. The coach is supposed to baby. T-ball, your coach is a babysitter.
I'm also coaching, though, too, so that's another.
Something came up. You know, like, I don't know what to tell you. Hey, something came up. You couldn't make the game. I don't know what to tell you.
Here's my final question. Final question for you, Berto.
Final question. That's it.
When you're there with your child at that T-ball game, will you be thinking about the Dodgers game or the T-ball game?
Dodger game.
All right, then you don't need to be there.
Yeah. Hey,
okay, hold on.
You're a distraction. You should not be there.
Yeah, you are a distraction.
That is fertilizer.
I don't want to be a distraction.
You don't want to be a distraction, bro.
Roberto, what are you in charge of as far as bringing to the game?
The booze.
No, big league chew.
I help the kids out with direction when they're on the field or when they're
But who brings the tea? Because here's the thing.
The league provides.
If you want to cancel the game, buddy.
I see what you're doing.
Hey, Berto's going.
That's a good point.
Berto's going to be at third base. Somebody's going to hit the ball for the Dodgers. Yeah. He's going to be waving them home. He's going to cost them the game. Like, just get. Come on, go. He's going to be talking to the Dodgers. Like, go. And he should have been telling them to stop.
Hey, Roberto, if you're giving instruction, just tell him, hey, miss everything. You know, let's get this over with.
Well, again, it's T-ball. All you have to do is eliminate the T, and parents are going to be like,
that's
I'm not watching
point.
Coaches.
That is a really, really good point.
We're going for a no-hitter in T-ball.
That's a good point. And listen, there's a lot of people out there that are thinking, God, that is so inappropriate. And then there's the people listening on The Blowtorch, AM 570 LA Sports, the home of the Dodgers, and they're like, you go, Roberto. Do exactly what they say. This is a big-time game. Can't lose to the Giants in an elimination game.
You don't have to feel bad about being a dope parent if you stay true to who you are in moments like these.
Damn right.
How can you tell your kid to be a diehard fan of the team that you want them to be when you're part-timing it?
That's a good point. It's like, baby,
I even dissed you for my team. You want to know what fandom is? You want to know why it's short for fanatic? Because I dropped your little butt off at this game. Tell the coach, you got this? Okay, I'm out. All right, you're going to drop. Okay, coach has to – no Uber ride back home. You know what coaches sign up for? To drive kids home. That's what coaches sign up for. And you know what the head coach of this T-ball team is going to do today so that Berto can drink his cervezas and watch this game? Is drop your kid off at the house.
Uncle LeVar, everybody.
Problem
Uncle
is
LeVar.
Solved.
Yeah. There you go.
Problem solved.
That's what I'm talking about.
You drove them there.
Yeah.
You dropped them off.
Yeah.
You got it done.
Yeah.
And you got back in time enough to get your drink in your hand and watch the game, baby.
Take that for data.
Take that. Uncle LeVar.
That's right.
That is how it's done.
That is right.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Always kind enough to join us here on Fox Sports Radio. He is Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter at the MMQB, and one of our favorites here on Fox Sports Radio. Albert, Jonas LeVar and Brady, we appreciate it. I'm just trying to figure out why you referred to me as Mr. Editor in an email last night. What's going on with that?
That was a private email. I'm not
going to
talk about that here.
I mean, if you could ask one question of this whole situation involving Gruden and the emails and all of that, if there was one thing you wanted to know above all else, what would it be?
What the NFL found in the Washington investigation.
because, you know, clearly they had a lot of information, and they've had that information in their possession for over 3 months now. And so, you know, I think the first thing that sort of came to mind, guys, was that out of those 650,000 emails, the John Gruden emails were cherry-picked. And I'm not defending anything that John Gruden said in those emails. But, you know, the John Gruden emails were cherry-picked. And we now know more about what John Gruden said in the emails than we know about how Dan Snyder was conducting his business over the last 20 years. And that wasn't the point of all of this, you know. And, I mean, the Raiders could not go forward with John Gruden. And, you know, he should be gone. And I understand all of that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, what they really went into all of this looking to fix and looking to address and looking to shine a light on, none of that's really happened, you know? And so, like, my biggest remaining question in this whole thing is not what's in the 20, 30, 40, however many emails it is. It's in what's in the other 650,000 emails. What'd they find in there? Because that was what they were looking into to begin with. And, you know, if you really want to address something like this, I think and the other thing, guys, I mean, this is very clear in this, too. I mean, we're finding out now, not that we didn't already know, but it's the difference between the people who cash the checks and the people who write the checks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Richie Incognito, the bullying scandal in Miami, 150-page report. Ray Rice, the domestic violence scandal, 100-page report. Tom Brady, Deflategate, 250-page report. Those guys, if you Google their names, you can find those written reports online now. You can go online and find those now. You can get details on everything that happened there. What happened with Richardson, what happened with Robert Kraft, with Jerry Jones, and now with what's happened with Dan Snyder. You can't find a word published by the NFL on them.
Hmm.
What is your best guess? Does Dan Snyder have something on someone? Or,
yes.
Like, where does this thing go from here? Because it seems like something has to happen in Washington next.
Yeah, Brady, you know what I think? I think these guys all have something on each other. And I don't think any of these guys want someone else digging through their trash. And I don't think these guys want the precedent set that there's going to be punishment for X, Y, and Z, because I think these guys all have skeletons in their closets. And so I think for the other owners, if they come down on Dan Snyder, if they take Dan Snyder's team away, well, then what sort of glass house are those guys living in? You know what I mean? And I think that's the biggest thing is, like, I'm not judging any of these guys individually. I'm just saying that, normally, you get that rich, you have to have some dirt under your fingernails, you know? You did some things to get there. And so, like, I think the biggest thing here is that the owners don't want to set a precedent for one another where if X or Y or Z happens with an owner, he could be harshly punished, he could have his team taken away. And I think that's symbolized every week in the fact that Dan Snyder's up in that suite watching his team's games. And I don't think they're putting that on TV or anything else now, but my understanding is he's been at all five of Washington's games this year. So really the only punishment he's taken here is a $10 million fine, which is like 10 bucks to the rest of us. So I think that's where it is, Brady. It's like, I don't think it's that Dan Snyder has anything specific on one person. I think it's that these guys all have something on each other. And I don't think any of them want to set the precedent that they're going to start punishing each other for these sorts of things.
Yeah, but let's be clear here. The Carolina Panther, Jerry Richardson, was forced to sell the team. And we all know the reasons why he was forced to sell the team. So that line's already been crossed.
LeVar, I'm going to stop you there. He wasn't forced to sell the team.
Okay.
He did that on his own. He did that on his own volition.
Okay.
And there's a difference here.
But what's you know that what based I mean? On? Like, but what's it based on?
It was
like
based
the technicalities.
On,
go ahead.
No question. I know what you're saying, LeVar. There's no question that you're right. Like that's why he sold the team. But it was Jerry Richardson's personal decision to sell the team. Like Jerry Richardson's the guy. It was the only stadium in the NFL that had the NFL shield at midfield. Like Jerry Richardson played in the NFL. He deeply, deeply cared about the league. And so Jerry Richardson was ashamed of what he did, and he should have been, because what the culture in that place was a mess. And so, and I know this because I've heard from other owners what he did. Now, he took one for the team. He said, like, I don't want the league to have to deal with this going forward, so you know what? I'm going to step aside and I'm going to sell my team.
But that's what everybody's – that's what I'm getting at. Yes, I did.
Is Dan Snyder doing that?
So here's the point I'm making, right? Regardless of if it can be construed differently because he decided to sell the team versus was forced to sell the team, semantics.
Right.
Look at Gruden. Gruden decided to resign, but we all know what would have happened next if he did not resign. So the point is that I'm making, Dan Snyder isn't going to be the guy that, oh, I love the National Football League so much, I'm just going to get out of the way. He's shown what he is and what's important to him. So the question is, when saying you don't want to set that precedence, aren't we beyond the point of where you can say we don't want to set that precedence of how you're going to be judged? Because now I can't see where we're standing right now that those other emails are going to be an oversight of what's taking place right now. And if that's the case, then you are going to see where we're at currently. We think that it's actually, if not the same, along the same lines, it's worse than what happened in Carolina, which what's taking place or has taken place in Washington. How does Dan Snyder get through this without the NFL looking bad, without Dan Snyder looking horribly bad? How do they get through this without it resulting in him being held accountable the same way that everybody else is being held accountable, whether they decide to sell their team or resign or whether they end up being forced to do it?
Well, Var, I think if he was going to sell his team, if he was going to show some shame here, I think it would have already happened.
I agree.
I mean, I think it would have already happened.
But is it his choice?
If he went through, like, if everything that happened last year, right, like between the name change, the workplace stuff, the cheerleaders, all of this stuff that happened last year, like, I think Dan Snyder probably feels right now like he's weathered the storm. That'd be my guess. Like, that he probably feels like he's gotten through what he needed to get through, and he's not going to be told by anybody to sell his team. And I don't think that, like, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in the NBA they did make Donald Sterling sell his team, right?
Yeah.
That was forced?
Yeah. It was forced.
Yeah.
That was forced, right? I don't think NFL owners are going to do that to each other. Because, again, like, I just don't think that those guys want to set the precedent that you can take something away that you own. And if I'm the other 31, if I'm the other 30 owners, I guess excluding the Packers, if I'm the other 30 owners, I'm irate right now because he's made all of us look awful. And I would hope that there's at least some owners that think he should be forced to sell the team. But I think if he was A, going to step aside, or B, be forced to sell the team, I think it absolutely positively would have already happened. Because if you watch the Jerry Richardson thing, that instant, that report came out. That was from Sports Illustrated, from one of my colleagues, John Wertheim. I think it was the end of December of that year. I mean, the team was on the block before New Year's Day. So I just think he was going to team about this, or if the other owners were going to gather and say, you're out, I would have already happened. I think for the other owners, it's about precedent. And I think for Dan Snyder, it's about no one's going to tell me what to do with a property that I spent this much money on. He was defiant when it came to the nickname, and he's been defiant with just about everything else. And I don't see how, when we have 20 years of history on the guy, anything's going to change now.
Wow. Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter at the MMQB, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox-Eddy here on FSR. How did Adam Schefter's involvement in this whole fiasco and the email leak that was sent to Bruce Allen, how did that land with you as a reporter who's been covering the NFL as long as you have?
Yeah, you know, I know and like Adam and really respect him. He's obviously accomplished a lot. I'd never do something like that. You know, I've had people ask me before, like, hey, can I get a look at the story? Can I check this? It's just ethically it's something we don't do. Now, like, running facts by people, you always do that. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, if it comes down to do I have this right or do I have that right, especially when it comes to, like, complicated subject matter, like a CBA negotiation, well, you're always going to do that sort of thing. And I know because, I mean, I was on street corners covering the labor talks in 2011, and I didn't know a lot about labor before that, and so I had to learn really, really, really fast. And so, you know, I think, you know, it's a tough look, but I've always respected the work that Adam does, and I'm inclined to believe him when he says what he said. You know, it's just, like, it's not something that I would ever do. And it's just, it's one of those lines that I would be completely uncomfortable crossing. Now again, like, as far as like facts and stories, pieces, you double check all of that because accuracy is the most important thing. But, you know, it's the idea that you would just send somebody a whole story. I haven't done that. And I mean, I think Adam said this in his statement, like he never gave anybody final edit. That would be like a cardinal sin, as if like you're giving a source like some sort of editorial power over a story. And Adam said in his statement that he didn't do that.
Right. He didn't give the final edit to Mr. Editor. So we'll leave it.
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, I hope he was kidding when he said that. I mean, I guess I would have to think that that's a tongue-in-cheek statement. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a formal title.
Hey, Albert, one would hope, but I'm done with that guy. That's why we love you having you on, okay? You're our guy,
yeah.
Albert.
Albert,
well, I want to ask you about the Las Vegas Raiders. It seems like Mark Davis is a little – maybe he's paranoid that he thinks people are going to try to somehow wrap this around him and try to take his team away from him. I mean, could you see any scenario where that would happen from all this fallout?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I do think, like, Mark has garnered, I mean, and it's, this is coming from, like, I think people had, like, other owners had zero respect for him before. But, you know, I think he did gain some respect in the way that he handled the move and, you know, the deal that they were able to get done in Vegas. Because, I mean, there's never been a stadium deal like that, like, where, I mean, he basically got handed – you know, nearly $1 billion in stadium funding. So I think, like, he's viewed a little differently maybe than he was 10 or 15 years ago as an owner. You know, I don't think he has any intention of selling the team. Brady, I really think, like, if you put the pieces together here, I think what really he feels like almost like a cornered animal over is the way this whole thing was handled. And yeah. I mean, I'll take you through what I think might have happened here. This isn't, like, nailed down or anything like this, but a theory that I've heard floated by a few people.
No, we'll nail it down right now. Guys, make sure you're recording in the back. We're going to run this later. We got it. We got you.
Lee F8.
Let's just call this informed speculation. Okay,
good.
So the NFL gets the emails back from Beth Wilkinson in July. There's 650,000 of them. Of course, it takes forever to go through them. You find a handful, whatever the number is, where you see John Gruden's got some really problematic language, problematic behavior, and you're saying in the NFL, you're saying to yourself, if this, like, trove of emails somehow gets out and people know that we had it, we are going to look awful that we let this slide. So we need to do something about it. So they go to the Raiders last week. They say, we have these emails, and you need to do something about it. The Raiders say no. Friday comes. They leak the first one. That's the warning shot. Suspend him. Take him off the field. Do something. The Raiders do nothing. He coaches Sunday. All right. So now we've already put out the one email where maybe you can explain it away. Right? All right? So we put that out. You didn't do anything about it. You know what comes next? Next, we're going to remove all doubt, and we're going to start dropping more emails out there. And if you want to keep playing this game, we will keep playing this game.
Who are these people doing that? Who are these people doing that? Who are you referencing?
Raj.
The NFL.
Okay.
Raj.
NFL.
Man. Okay. He's talking until about you, Raj. And
until you do something about it, we're going to keep, until that folder is empty, we are going to keep throwing those emails out there.
Oh,
and,
God.
I mean, like, obviously, like, on Friday, the Raiders felt like, all right, maybe we can manage this. By the time Monday night came, there was no more managing it. And so, like, I could see where Mark Davis might look at that action from, like, that sort of action from the NFL. Because some of that stuff, like, you know, some of that stuff did happen. And he might feel to himself, he might think to himself, you would never do this to Robert Kraft. You would never do this to Jerry Jones. You would never do this to John Mara or Art Rooney. But you're doing it to me.
Could you imagine Jerry Jones's emails?
Oh.
Good. I'm sorry. Good. Good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll leave that there.
Yeah. No reason to touch it.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think that's what it is, guys. Is that I think it's an owner who's probably been made to feel for a long time like he's a second class citizen, and now, like, he was basically being, like, I mean, more or less put in a corner by the league. And, like, I just feel like he was treated like he is not an equal with the other 31 teams. And I think that that's why he reacted the way that he reacted.
That is fascinating. There's a lot of this story that's really ugly, but just it's almost like, I feel like I'm watching the movie JFK. Like, it's just like they're sitting on the park bench realizing there's all these other layers to this. It's just, this is a crazy, crazy story. Albert, awesome job, man. That was really,
yeah,
really
thanks,
good.
Thanks, Albert.
Appreciate you,
get
bro.
Him on Twitter.
Our guy, baby.
At Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter for the MMQB. We'll do it again next week. We might actually talk about some games, too, I swear.
Well, we'll try next week. Hopefully there's not anything else in that folder that gets out over the next few days.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
We're just getting started.
All right, good stuff there from the great Albert Breer.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.